Welcome back to Suburban Black Girl, episode 45. Cheers!
Cheers!
Been weeks without a drink on this podcast.
No, literally. I think, like, honestly, months.
It's been at least...
almost 2 months, probably.
Close, yeah. At least a month and a half.
Yeah. But I pulled through and I did it. I was not really doing alcohol for a little bit and I didn't crash out. So that's all that matters.
Are you sure? Were you close at one point?
I mean, of course, right? In the beginning, you know, when you just deprive yourself of sugars, you don't realize like you literally do crash.
Yeah.
I don't know. I probably was cheating. I was drinking a lot of like sugar-free Red Bulls. I probably shouldn't have done that in the beginning.
Mm.
But yeah, it was not easy, but at least I didn't like give in, you know?
So what'd you do again? You already are no gluten, no dairy. So then you did no sugar, no alcohol?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. And you don't realize that no sugar, that'll do it.
I could never, because doesn't fruit count as sugar?
Yep. I couldn't eat fruit. Your little condiment sauces, sugar, can't do that. Like so many things have sugar in
them. Were you eating celery? An air?
Celery, ground turkey, cucumbers, sweet potatoes. It was extreme.
That's clean. Good for you. How did you feel physically?
Oh my God.
Like, did you have more energy?
Honestly, I think because I wasn't, you know, I deprived myself of so much sugar and just those other things that give me energy. I definitely would kind of like midday, I would just kind of have this like break where I'm like, geez, I need something else.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually, you know, after 2.5-3 weeks, my body started to get used to it more, but it took me a little time. And then I kind of figured out a way to push through it. But, mm-hmm. It shocks your body for sure.
Well, good for you, child. 'Cause I could never.
Yeah. It's not something I would do every day, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys, today's episode is I'm not healing for a man. I'm healing for me.
Period.
Because a lot of times I think, you know, when we discuss we're healing, a lot of people associate it with, oh, you're healing from a toxic relationship or a toxic ex or from a man. It's like, no, some of us, you know, are healing just for the betterment of being a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to dig more into that today.
Love that. Love that. I think a lot of times what drives you to focus on your healing is coming out of a terrible situation with a man a lot of the times. It's like, okay, enough is enough. But, you know, I think eventually you can get to that point where, no, it's literally just about you and being the best version of yourself and that's it.
Yeah. No, literally. Absolutely. I agree. And I'm definitely looking forward to getting into this today. So let's see. So let's talk about motivation and misconceptions first. Have you ever felt pressure to heal just to become more dateable?
I don't think I felt pressure, but I think probably part of my motivation to go to therapy after coming out of a toxic relationship was that I didn't want to bring any of that baggage into a future one. Which,
yes, absolutely.
I mean, I guess it depends who you ask if that's a good reason or not. I guess maybe it should really just be about wanting to heal for yourself and be the best version of yourself and not even be thinking about a future relationship at that point.
Right.
You know, but I don't think I felt pressure. I think that was just my mindset at the time. And I think as I grew and evolved as a person, then it came about it being for me, which is what it should be.
No, exactly. You know, I definitely I've dealt with men that were toxic and narcissists. And so there's been times where after, you know, we go our separate ways where I felt as though, okay, maybe I do need to find a way to be more quote unquote dateable. But that's when I was more young and not really, I guess, even my best self, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, you know, I just learned to find ways like, okay, maybe where are areas that I can improve at? But I mean, a lot of the toxic traits or the ways that I had, maybe that didn't make me dateable were because of the man I was dealing with. It's like looking back, a lot of those men that I was with put me in that state or made me act that way, you know, because now when I'm in a healthy relationship, I'm completely different than I was before. So I think a lot mm-hmm. of it just, you know, depends on the type of man that you're dealing with, because they definitely can bring a side out of you that you've never even seen yourself.
The way the question's worded to me is interesting. Like, how much of, you know, you not feeling like you might be dateable has to do with, like, your own intrinsic beliefs? Or do you think it's more from, like, maybe narcissistic experiences where people make you feel like you're the problem?
Correct. And that's where I feel like minds come from, where when I think back about that, I've never felt as though I'm not dateable until there's been a man that has said certain things to me. You know, like, I remember a man I was dating on and off was like, look at you, you're almost 30 and you're still basically single. And I was like, excuse me? You know what I mean? But that is that type of man. It's like, I'm literally dating you and you're talking like this to me. You know what I mean? So it's stuff like that where it just reminds me
Wait, if you were dating him, how are you basically single? Because it was situationship, yeah, so he was being petty.
Yeah, we weren't together yet.
He's petty.
Yeah, it was one of those situations where, you know, just stringing me along, making me feel like we were going to be together. And then, of course, things hit the fan. We stop talking. Then we spin the block months later, try again. You know, that was definitely in my younger 20s, toxic situationship that carried on for way too long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I feel like I had a similar experience where I think when you try to hold someone, especially someone who maybe suffers from narcissistic personality disorder, I think when you try to hold them accountable or when you're on the verge of leaving them, that's where like that gaslighting and manipulation mm-hmm. comes in. And it's like, you really think you're going to be able to do better than this? Like, nobody's going to want you, da 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 da. Yeah, and I think that's so unfortunate. And that's such a red flag. And I hope anybody watching this that has been told that or is currently going through that does not take it to heart, does not let it affect them. Because when you deal with somebody like that, that I think is a very outward way of like being manipulative and saying nobody else is going to want you.
Yeah.
But I feel like prior to such a blunt comment like that is just little things, little constant things that are meant to pick away and eat away at your confidence and your self-esteem, you know? And then I feel like once their blood really starts to boil or they feel like they're really about to lose you is when they're just overtly like, you'll never be able to do better than me. But I feel like there's little jabs constantly when you're dating someone like that where they're just slowly tearing down your self-esteem so that you truly believe that about yourself and that you will never move on from them.
Yeah.
Because you won't value yourself enough to leave or to even want to explore dating somebody else. And I think for me, maybe like going on a healing journey or starting therapy, like I feel like that was part of the motivation. Not that I didn't believe it, but just healing from that trauma, because I feel like deep down I knew I deserved better, but it's more like the exhaustion that comes from constantly combating like narcissistic abuse like that. That's what I feel like I really needed to heal from, because it drains you and like you're no longer yourself. And so I feel like getting into therapy after that relationship for me, it was a lot of that just healing, because, and we've talked about this before, where I was just very numb, and even starting therapy, it took me a while just to even cry, because I just wasn't in tune with my emotions anymore, because you literally have to be numb to deal with, you know, that kind of person.
Exactly. To your point, I felt as though when I was in my first toxic relationship, I then jumped to another one that was, honestly, I don't think I healed enough at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't realize, you know what I mean? Until you do some of that inner work and the healing, you're going to continue to attract that same type of individual, but just in a different body.
Yep.
And it becomes a different type of abuse, right?
Yep.
And that's what I started to realize. When I started to think back, I'm like, a lot of these men's were, it's the same person, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as cliche as it sounds, right? Eventually you do meet someone once you've done the work. And, you know, you're confident in yourself and, you know, nothing gets you down. And then you find someone that literally sees you as the best thing that's ever walked planet Earth. You know what I mean? And so I think that's something that I want all women to know is that regardless, like, someone out there thinks you're beautiful, you're perfect the way you are, flaws and all, versus if the man you're dating now doesn't think that, like, eventually you will find someone that loves you for just who you are and mm-hmm. the way you're growing and evolving. Because none of us have reached our true potential yet, right? We're growing and learning every day. And so, you know, it's important to wait for the person that actually takes the patience to get to know you and grow with you. And that's something I've prayed about for so long with a man is, God, give me a man that is patient with me. Because let's be honest, I don't mean to be rude, but a lot of men are not together themselves. So for you to sit here and act like I'm this, I'm like, okay, I'm dating the wrong type of man, because we should be growing together. So don't try to put me down when honestly, I know that when we're putting things on the table, like, I'm outweighing you, but whatever.
Yeah. And that's another reason to not date someone who's insecure, because they know that, you know, at the end of the day, they know that they might not be up to par and they're probably very lucky to be with you. And people can either respond in one of two ways. They can be inspired, like, oh, this girl's out of my league, let me get my shit together. Or they respond by trying to bring you down to their level or be beneath them to make themselves feel better. And that's where it becomes very dangerous.
Yeah, it's kind of scary though, and right?
Harmful, yeah.
Because there are some men that actually hate women. I'm laughing because it's like laughing at my own pain, but it's like, it's quite alarming.
No, I feel like I've experienced that. There's a lot of men out there who do not like their girlfriends, do not like their wives. It's very bizarre. Like, they actually don't like them as people. That's just another reason to, at the very least, like, and this is something my therapist always says, is like, build the friendship first. That's her favorite thing. But, like, I can see why. Because if you're genuinely friends, then you know that person likes you for you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you genuinely have a friendship out of your relationship, then you know that that person really values you.
Exactly.
And I feel like that's how a lot of people end up in relationships where the person does not actually like them.
No, yeah, I agree. I see the importance of building that friendship first versus just, oh, this is my man. It's like, no, you actually have to like each other beyond just that physical attraction of like, this is my man, we go together. It's like, no, you definitely need to build that friendship as well, because I think some men don't like their women, or maybe some women may not like their men, because y'all really don't have anything in common, if we're being completely honest.
Mm-hmm. No, I had another thought with that too, because something you said reminded me just about how, like, you end up dating that type of person again. And I feel like for me, how I ended up down that path was like, the relationship is so miserable, I feel like it makes you more susceptible to love bombing.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh, I just got out of this terrible relationship. This person's great. And it's like, no, they're actually just love bombing, you know, the fuck out of you. Yeah. And then all it takes is like one thing for the flip to switch. And then you see their true colors. And yeah, I think that's why it's important to take a break from dating, especially after ending any relationship, but especially a toxic one, to heal, so that you take things slow and you, I think, have better discernment and not rose-colored glasses on. Because I feel like when you come out of a terrible relationship, you have those rose-colored glasses on, and it's just like, oh, this is great. And it's like, no, it's actually the same man in a different form, in a different font.
Literally. And the sad thing is, you don't realize that you're so used to it and you're accustomed to it, to where it's like, sadly, you already know what's coming next. Yeah. But when it comes to that healthy relationship or being in a healthy, you know, being with a healthy man, you realize, you're like, oh, I'm actually not used to this. And you're at the most vulnerable level you've ever been before, because you really don't know what to expect next. And you don't realize how challenging a healthy love is on you. Like, it really is a full on, like, I am looking straight at you. You know what I mean? And you don't realize that it's such a challenge being in such a healthy relationship versus dealing with the same old toxic stuff. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of work, right? And when you're in a healthy relationship, you realize, okay, I see why everyone's not capable of doing this, because it's definitely not as easy as a toxic situation or relationship.
Yeah. I think that's because if you're in a healthier situation, that person's going to challenge you.
You're right.
But not in the way that a toxic situation challenges you, right. In a way where it exposes you, like you can feel naked in a sense, like it will expose the things that you need to work on. Mm-hmm. And that can be hard. I feel like it kind of reminds me of going to therapy where it's like that person's going to hold a mirror up to you. And there are certain things you have to face about yourself and work on if the relationship is going to thrive.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it just makes me think of, say if someone is not ready to go to therapy, what other ways do you think someone can heal without going to therapy if that's just not something that they're ready to do yet? Because, you know, I think the hardest part of therapy is actually taking the leap and starting therapy.
Definitely. I think two things come to mind. One for me would be like spirituality.
Yes.
If you are a churchgoer or whatever higher power you believe in, I think that that's important. My personal belief is that you need both, because some of the worst people I've met or worst dating experiences I've met, I've met some of the worst dating experiences I've been a part of, you know, were people who had Bible verses in their Instagram bio.
No, for real.
So.
And go faithfully every Sunday.
Yeah. And I think that is a slippery slope and why I think therapy is important, because to me, therapy creates self-awareness. Mm. And I think religion without self-awareness is very dangerous. Mm. You know, because let a narcissist tell it, oh, if the enemy is attacked, it's like, is the enemy attacking you or are you just a terrible person? Like, are you just not a nice person and that's why your life is in shambles? It's not the enemy. You are your enemy. Your right. own worst enemy, you right. know? But to answer your question, I think spirituality would be one way. But I do think eventually at some point if you're not a self-aware person, which you wouldn't know if you're not self-aware, but... I think that's one reason why both are important. But if it's not therapy and it's not spirituality, because not everybody is spiritual, I think having a mentor older, someone older and wiser, yes. that you can confide in, that can guide you, but most importantly, can hold you accountable in the same way that therapy would, I think that is a good alternative.
Yeah.
Until you are ready to go to therapy. But I think we all need some sort of guidance, whether it's therapy, religion, and spirituality, or a mentor. I think you have to have something. You have to have somebody that you can confide in and look up to, and that can be a safe space. So.
Yeah. I think those are all answers that I agree with. For sure. I definitely think for me, spirituality, it's, I'm thankful to have found a pastor here that I genuinely like to go to in person. But I think, of course, there's tons online that are amazing as well. If maybe in the area you live in, you know, you can't really find a church that you connect with. And also, I think when it comes to finding a church, you can't always expect the first one to work out. So I think, you know, hopping around and finding what works for you. And there's been times where I may like a church and then I realize I'm like, I'm kind of outgrowing this vibe. So you have to be mindful of that as well, right? When it's no longer serving you, you just kind of need to move on. But other than that, the only other thing I can think of is I know you don't really listen to other podcasts, but I genuinely listen to a lot of podcasts. And I try to find the podcasts that are inspirational, motivational, or uplifting, to where it's like I'm gaining something out of it. You know, I don't like to just listen to just riffraff when I'm watching like podcasts. Like I actually want to leave with some knowledge or something. So I think it's important, you know, finding an audiobook or things of that nature that, you know, you get to learn more about people, especially that's why I'm loving the podcast space in general, is because we're getting to see these influencers and celebrities in such a different light besides being on TV and selling us on their new book. It's like we're really getting to know who these people are at the core. And I'm learning so much through them and their journeys, because these are people that have therapists and life coaches, et cetera, et cetera. And it's kind of like a lot of them are spilling free game for free. So that's a tip that, you know, I'm just, cause we have a podcast, like I genuinely like to support other podcasts as well. So I think that's another one that I do. I'm more of an audio listener, not like I don't read books. So I'm all into the audio because, you know, I can listen to it on a walk,
yeah,
on a commute to work, wherever I'm at, getting ready. So,
yeah. And, you know, I feel like a lot of people love to hate on TikTok or social media in general, whatever. But, like, I genuinely have learned so much from TikTok, but
yeah,
not the think piecers. I am not talking about think piecers, wannabe dating coaches, bad bitches that are giving dating advice. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about following people that have a PhD, that are certified therapists, certified, you know, psychologists, whatever it is. They give out a lot of free knowledge online too, because at the end of the day, that's true, how a lot of them get clients, right, or whatever. Them. Yeah. So you can learn a lot from a 3-minute TikTok or even just binging, you know, a lot of these people's pages. But again, people that are certified, went to college, got higher education, and this is like truly what they do for a living, not the dating coach that, you know, wants you to find your 7-figure husband, your provider man.
In 30 days. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
And not that some of the stuff they're saying, there might be, there's probably validity to some of the stuff they say. But I'm just saying, if you're not going to go to therapy, which is what I would be the biggest recommendation, at least go to some, you know, at least start engaging with some stuff from a certified therapist or certified life coach, whatever it is, you know, online. And then, but also I think that's the great thing about social media is you can stumble across somebody's page. And for me, that's also how I've gotten like book recommendations, from stumbling across a TikTok from a therapist and they're saying 5 books for self-help X, Y, and Z, you know? So I think in general, when it comes to social media, having discernment and I think in general too, and not to get us off track, but just curating your feed to like help you be the best version of yourself. I love TikTok for entertainment, don't get me wrong. So I'm still going to make sure that Real Housewives and all of that, you know, and some tea and some entertaining, funny videos are popping up on my feed. Because yeah, at the end of the day, like sometimes you want to rot and scroll.
Right.
But I do like try to engage with stuff like that so it stays on my feed too, because I feel like I've learned a lot from, you know, stumbling across somebody's page and then like binging their content and whatever. So,
well, while we're on the subject of social media, how do you think social media has contributed to the pressure to heal quickly or perfectly?
I think the thing with social media, especially when you post your relationship online and then social media figures out that you're no longer in that relationship, I think sometimes you don't get the same level of grace that people just get in real life. A lot of times relationships do not have clean breakups. It's not like you break up and stop talking to each other or break up and never talk to each other again. Like you break up and then it's like messy or there's gray area or you decide whether you're going to spin the block or not, you know? And when you break up and then you're back together 2 weeks later, in real life, a lot of people do that. But on social media, people are like, oh, girl, you went back to that. And it's like, okay, why are you all acting like nobody's ever spin the block before, you know? And so I think social media definitely creates the pressure to heal faster, to move on faster. And that's literally just not real life.
Yeah.
Like you don't just instantly get over someone. You don't just instantly like stop talking to someone a lot of the times, you know, unless I feel like it was some extreme scenario where like I've definitely stopped talking to someone cold turkey, but that's not always the case, especially like if it maybe didn't end badly, but you both just decided it wasn't working. Like it usually doesn't just end in like a clean break, but I feel like there's so much judgment from social media where, yeah, you don't get the same level of grace, you know, and having that like gray area sometimes with breakups.
That's why, like, I hate to say it, but I commend the couples that publicly put their relationships on the social media platforms, because I mean, that's, it's extremely performative. I'm sorry. And I just feel as though no relationship is perfect, right? So it's kind of like you see the highs and lows of these relationships literally on social media. And that's tough skin to have, truly and honestly, the way that people attack and get on to you when, like you were just saying, y'all do the same thing, but because I'm doing it on social media, you have something to say about it.
Right.
But yeah, it is unfortunate how after breakups, we see these influencers and celebrities get on and quickly move on online, but we really truly don't know if they truly are happy or healing properly, right? But when we see the way they're posting on social media as if everything is peaches and cream and everything's just all great and better than ever, I do feel like it expedites your healing journey, because after you post that you've broken up or people can tell you've broken up, you're then trying to move on social media on as if everything is perfect and everything is just going well. And I think that's something hard that, you know, you see online with these celebrities a lot and these influencers. So I don't know. It's tough. I couldn't do that.
But also, like, even outside of social media, I feel like people close to you can judge.
Yeah.
And I feel, I get why people just keep their relationship private. Or maybe if you do break up, you don't really talk to people
right
about it, because you might not be certain, or there could be a chance for reconciliation, and yeah, then you're judged. So I don't know. I can see why people just keep certain things to themselves until they know for sure.
Yeah, no, definitely. And as I've gotten older, I've honestly become a person where I'm a lot more private with my relationships and things of that nature as you get older, because you want to protect those things, right? And the second you kind of let people inside of that world of yours, especially your more romantic relationships, it definitely is interesting, the feedback and the things people try to say about your relationship. And yeah, I think that's something you have to you keep private the older you get, honestly.
Yeah, because those outside opinions can eat away at you, or they can create maybe unnecessary conflict between you and your partner, or inflict sometimes unnecessary doubt or whatever the case may be. So yeah, that's tough.
Exactly. So how do you protect your healing journey from outside validation or male-centered end goals?
I think that's where either having a therapist or a mentor or somebody that you can confide in a healthy way, whose opinion you really can respect and that person has your best interests at heart. I think that's important, because we've joked about this before and it's like a joking but not joking. It's like, confide in your friends, but like your friends don't know everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's kind of like the don't take advice from somebody who's not where you want to be. If your friend has not been married for 20 years, maybe don't seek relationship advice from them. Like right. At the end of the day, we all are in the same boat in one way or another. And that's not to say don't confide in your friends. Obviously, you know, you confide in your friends, you vent to your friends, whatever. But at the end of the day, you have to make the decision that's best for you. And if you really, really, really need actual guidance, yeah, look to somebody who has been in a successful marriage for a long time that can actually help you make a decision that's best for you. And I love getting advice from people older than me and people that are more wise than me. So I think that's important, because it's like at this age, you can definitely have friends that are very male-centered and they're not going to make the healthiest decisions when it comes to men.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think because you have to be cautious of the information that you're receiving and the type of person it's coming from, because, you know, like we said before, if you're getting information or feedback of how you should handle a situation from a male-centered friend, it may not be the best for you if you are not male-centered as well. So I think you do have to be cautious of who you're getting that advice from. I do totally agree with that, definitely. I think a part of your healing journey is learning to love yourself and building your self-confidence. So I think it's important to block the outside noise out, because, you know, it's easy to seek outside validation, but if you don't have that confidence within yourself, you getting all those compliments all the time, it only is going to go so far. Like, you have to believe in yourself that you're beautiful, regardless of a man or a woman or whoever tells you you're beautiful, because not every day you're going to get told you're beautiful, right? So if that one day you're not told you're beautiful when you step out, then you may feel insecure, right? Because no one told you that you're beautiful. But if you know that you're beautiful because that's something you tell yourself and you know that, then you're not going to be worried about what other people are thinking or saying about you. So I think that's really important. It's so important to have self-confidence and love yourself regardless of what other people think. And it's clear, right? It shows the friends that we have or the family members we have that are truly confident in the skin that they're in. And I love those type of people because I'm like, you can't tell them nothing.
I aspire to be that. I can only imagine being the level of confident where it's like you're like people think you're cocky. Like, must be nice.
Please stop. No, bro. How do you balance doing inner work with giving yourself grace to just be?
Oh, I would say finding the balance of being consistent, right? Knowing you're working on yourself each and every day. But I think as far as giving yourself grace, it's like sometimes you have to look back at how far you've come.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I can catch myself doing that, whether it's self-growth, whether it's career-wise, whatever. It's like you need to work harder so you can get here, 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 here. But then you're not spending enough time in gratitude,
yeah,
for this current moment that you prayed to be at. Like there was a time where you were crying and you were like, I pray to never feel like this again, or I pray to take these depressive or sad feelings away. Sometimes you have to take a moment to realize what you've overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're not where you want to be, I think that's where the grace comes in. And I catch myself especially doing this when it's like, I feel like I've made a mistake. It's like, oh, you're dumb. You already knew this. Mm. Like, what are you doing? You already learned this lesson, da, da, da. But it's just like, even still, the way I looked at it, especially like in my 20s, was like, if I spent 15 months dating someone that I had no business dating, and then the next time around, I see the red flags and it only lasts 5 months, and I'm sitting there beating myself over the head like, oh, why would you even go down this hole again, da, 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 da. And it's like, a win is still a win.
Yeah.
Because you caught it way earlier this time,
right,
than you did last time. And that's still, you know, a win. And so recognizing that growth within yourself and kind of like, I guess, looking at the glass half full.
I do agree. And having to give yourself grace. Because not every day do we show up our full self, our best self, and do we make the best decisions, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's important to give yourself grace because, like you said, you do learn each time.
Right.
If you fail again, hey, you still have learned a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And I do give myself grace because it's so important, right? Because you are your biggest downfall. So you have to be cautious of being down and hard on yourself because every day is a new day. If today wasn't good, you wake up tomorrow and you try again, right? And you wake up with a positive mindset and a positive attitude. Not every day is a good day, and that's okay. The sun will shine tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely being big on giving yourself grace because it's like the more you beat yourself up, it's harder to climb out of that hole that you've dug yourself into. Because at the end of the day, it really is you versus you. So if you're beating yourself down, you're only really being detrimental to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody has to encourage you, it's yourself. So you have to continue to give yourself grace. That way you can push through the hard parts of your life.
You know, something I just thought of that people might think of it this way, especially if you are an overachiever, is like working on yourself is a job and an accomplishment in itself. From the perspective that one, especially if you're in therapy, like people are not doing that work. Like people are actually not working on themselves actively, the majority of people. So that's one. So give yourself a pat on the back if you feel like you are even remotely starting on your healing journey or starting to really work on yourself to be a better person. You're already doing more than the majority of people. Yeah. That's one. But two, how I started to look at it recently, because I feel like, especially over the past couple of years, I felt like when it comes to work, maybe I could have been working harder and been further, or my content, I could have been working harder and been further, or like I could have, you know, this podcast could have started sooner and been further. But I've kind of started to change my mindset about that. Whereas like the past couple of years, I worked really hard on myself. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been giving my giving myself credit for the fact that that is work.
Yeah.
I've just been looking at it so negatively, like all of these other things fell to the wayside that I should have been doing and that I should have been further along in. But like, that is work. And that's why people don't do it. That's why people don't work on themselves. That's why people don't go to, because working on yourself is actually hard work.
Very. Right.
You know what I mean? And so I think that's also where the grace comes in, is like, if you have a project or something that maybe has fallen off, or like maybe you're going up to work, going to work and showing up every day, and that's just good enough, because outside of that, you're working really hard on yourself mentally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is, like give yourself credit for that, because that is work.
Right.
And if you're making progress on that, then like that's growth.
Right.
And that's definitely something I have not been doing. I've been sitting here like, I wasted so much time the past couple of years because I didn't do X, Y, and Z, but I wasn't doing nothing. I've grown personally a lot. And yeah, I think give yourself that grace.
No, definitely. Because sometimes you think like, I'm still not where I want to be, or I haven't done enough. But then when you look back, you're like, wow, I actually have grown a lot.
Yep.
And sometimes you don't realize how much you've accomplished, or, you know, the good that you've been doing in your life, until other friends or family members tell you how amazing you're doing, or how maybe you inspire them, or, you know, they see the work that you've put in. And that is so fulfilling, where you're like, man, like, we are our biggest critic. Mm-hmm. But just something that you were talking about, just reminding me of just giving yourself grace, is finding ways to live in the moment. You know, we don't get this day again, this minute again, or anything like that. So it's good in the midst of just giving yourself grace to live in the moment and live your life. Because at times I feel as though we feel that we're on this time clock and we have to achieve all these things. And yes, in the midst of achieving those things, take the time to give yourself grace to just relax and unplug here and there. For me, it's traveling. It's vacation. It's like, I feel the most free when I'm literally not home. Like when I'm in another country, that's when I really feel as though, okay, work, whatever personal endeavors I'm doing, like I'll figure that out when I get home. But right now, let me just live in the moment of being in this beautiful country. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that, you know, I really start to realize when I'm on vacation every time. It's like every time I'm on vacation, I'm like, this is why I do what I do, to get here and just bask in just the energy of being somewhere else and not worrying about anything back home, but just waking up and doing whatever I want to do.
Yeah. Seriously. Especially with social media and just the world moving so quickly. Like, again, the cliche, remembering that you're living in an answered prayer, but it is that.
Yeah.
It really is that. And I feel like I've said it before, and I've said it to myself before, but I literally had to say it to myself earlier. Was like, and you know me, I'm the type of person where I just find signs in everything. So like, leaving my house the past couple days, there has just been, every single time when I drive past this certain landmark, the car in front of me has been going so slow to like merge out kind of like onto the main road. Mm-hmm. And every time I'm like, what is it about this street? And I'm like, maybe it's just that you're always in a rush when you're leaving your house and you need to chill the F out. Then when I was on my way here, and this was the second time this happened, I was at a light and it had beyond turned green, and the people at the intersection ran the light.
Mm.
And I just, you know, like I said, I feel like I find signs in everything, but I just feel like, yeah, I feel like lately I've been just getting the message to slow down.
Yeah, and say that.
Enjoy the journey and enjoy the moment, because everything you want is going to come. And I definitely feel like I've been doing a lot of stressing about the next thing and not just enjoying the now. And I've been very guilty of it lately, even though I know it's something I'm supposed to be doing. But I definitely feel like I've lost sight of it recently, probably over the past like month or two, maybe even longer.
Yeah. And I mean, it's easy to get to that point, right? Because things never come when we want it. It comes over time, and things, great things do take time. And it is so hard, right? Because you're like, gosh, I am exhausted. But eventually you wake up one day and it all works out. And that's why I believe in putting one foot in front of the other, even the days where I'm just like, I don't really have a lot in me.
Yeah.
But I'll do the best I can. But yeah, definitely important. Daily deposits. You only get what you put in.
Yeah. I've definitely been falling off of my journaling too, which is something I used to do a lot. Like I try to every morning, and I've definitely fallen off of that lately, and I want to get back to that. But it also was when I was having slower mornings, mm-hmm. and I feel like I'm literally hopping out of bed and getting on my computer literally immediately. And I don't know if I need to get up earlier, go to bed earlier, whatever it is, but I need to integrate that back into my routine, because I definitely can see the effects on like my mental and emotional health when I don't kind of have that outlet of journaling. Or just, like I said, I've said this before, like I would literally just drink my tea and sit in silence.
Yeah.
For at least like 20 minutes, whatever, just to get my thoughts and feelings together. And I literally have not been doing that. And I need to get back to that.
It's the point of like starting your day with you. And even I've fallen off of like the early morning workouts. Now I feel like I'm working out after work. Mm-hmm. But it's like when you start your day with you and you do something for you in the morning versus just hopping on and getting ready for work, you feel so much better, because it's like you've poured into yourself first, and you've put you first versus that company or that job or that man or that child. So yeah, finding a way to like get up earlier and just do something for yourself is so beneficial. Like when I did it, I felt the best, but I don't know, you know, it comes in waves, right? Mm-hmm. Depending on your workload or what else you have going on outside of that.
Yeah.
Can you be healing and deserving of love at the same time? Or do we over-glorify doing the work first?
I always look at it as a two-part thing. It is important to take the time after a relationship ends to work on yourself, be alone, be single, not be talking to anybody. Your phone is dry and you're really just like digesting and reflecting on that relationship and growing and healing from it. Like what you liked about that person, what you didn't like about that person, what you needed to work on in that relationship, what you needed to be better on. I think that part is important, and that step is a necessary step. But I always look at it as a two-part process, where that's part one. It's like you don't really know how healed you are until you're in a similar situation. Not similar, until you're triggered again, yeah. Right? So if you are an alcoholic and you went to rehab, that's a very safe space to heal your addiction. But how healed are you really until you get back out into the real world where there's temptation? I feel like it's similar, where, okay, you've worked on yourself, you've identified your triggers, you've learned about different coping mechanisms. But when you get into a new relationship and maybe that person's not cheating, but like something about what they did triggered you, how are you handling it now? Mm-hmm. And you don't know that when you're alone.
Right.
So I think both parts are equally necessary. I do think you need to take that time by yourself, but I don't think you fully heal until you get into another relationship and you face triggers, or like you were talking about earlier, where you're in a healthy relationship and it's like a mirror and you realize, oh, I still have a little bit more to work on, you know?
Yeah. No, definitely. And that's the thing. I don't think you're ever going to be the best version of yourself when you get into a relationship. I think when you finally get to that point, you'll get in a situation where it does challenge you, but you become better through that relationship that you're in. Mm-hmm. So I don't believe in, you have to be the best version of yourself to meet that person. It's just finding someone that is willing to do the work with you, because we all need work. We all need healing. We all need growth. And you don't realize until you're with a partner that you work well with that you help one another become better in certain areas. You know what I mean? And that's important. And I don't believe that, yeah, there is no such thing as perfection when you get in any relationship, because it is going to rip off Band-Aids that you have not ripped off in a while. And that's just what it's gonna, that's really how it is.
What would you tell someone who feels like they're behind in healing because they're single?
Because they're single?
That's what the question says.
Are you healing for yourself or are you healing for a man? Is that not the title of the episode?
Yeah. But I think it's a great point, because a lot of people feel as though, okay, if you're not healed, then that's why you can't have a man or attract a man. That's just what I feel as though.
You know, but I feel like the more you heal, you realize it's the opposite.
Yeah. Is that the more you heal, the harder it will be to find somebody that is worthy of you.
Right.
Because they've also done the work.
Right.
And I feel like I was single for a long time and also celibate for a long time. We talk about all the time the dating pool being small. Once you start healing, then it really shrinks.
Yeah.
Like, forget the financial, socioeconomic, whatever. The amount of people working on themselves mentally, emotionally, spiritually, period, is very small. And then once you start doing that, it makes sense why people are single, because a lot of people are not doing that work. So I would flip that mindset entirely, that you're not still single because you need to do more work. At the end of the day, healing is a lifelong journey. Yeah. And growth, self-growth, whatever, is a lifelong journey. But I would flip that narrative in your head if you think that you still need to do more healing and that's why you've been single for a long time. Like, I don't know, once you like go down that journey of healing and working on yourself, you kind of have to be prepared to be single, because people are not doing that work. And no offense, especially men, a lot of men are not doing that work. Some, I think, because I feel like a lot of people, men, can have the mindset of, I'm not going to change. I'm just going to find somebody who will accept my nonsense.
Right.
But then also, and what we've talked about is that, like, I think for both African-American men and women, there's not a lot of therapists that look like us, but then there's definitely not a lot of Black male therapists. And I think that could be a reason for a lot of them being hesitant to go to therapy as well. So yeah, I would switch that mindset for sure.
Yeah. It just reminds me of, like, your worth is not tied to a man, to a relationship, to anyone but yourself. And your healing journey, whatever healing journey you on, is not dictated by you being single or not. You know, you are worthy whether you're single or not, regardless of what a man or society may tell you. And I think it's so important to become your best version of yourself until you get in a good relationship that works well with the work that you've done. You know what I mean? There's many people that are in relationships that, no offense, they're two broken people. I'd rather be whole than be in a relationship where both of us are broken individuals. Hmm. That's not true happiness. So don't ever think as though, because in my opinion, I feel as though the friends and family members that I know that are single, some of them are the most whole women I've ever seen. And it's okay to wait for the right person to come. You know what I mean? I hate when some women feel as though they're single and they're worthless. It's like, no, you are taking the time to do your work and enjoy the journey of being single. Like, it's something to be celebrated and to enjoy it while it's there. So, you know, don't ever think as though you're less than because, you know what I mean? You're single.
Yeah.
I just say how society portrays being single as this bad thing.
It's like, yeah, no. Because that's the thing, is when you are single, especially a Black woman, especially an outspoken, beautiful, educated, whatever, Black woman, that is a lot of times the only thing that they will then try to use against you is, oh, I don't see no ring on your finger. And that's why I'm saying flip the narrative.
Yeah.
You don't have a ring on your finger because you are so valuable, and it is hard to find somebody at your level.
Right.
But, you know, let them tell it. It's you're not valuable enough, and that's why you don't have a ring on your finger, and that's not true.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's never like that. So,
period.
True to yourself, girl.
Okay. Today's mantra moment that we're going to end with. My healing isn't about proving my worth to anyone else. It's about reclaiming my peace, protecting my heart, and becoming the woman I'm proud of. I don't heal to be chosen. I heal because I already chose myself. Ooh! The last line always slaps. I'm so sorry. You know what? That just reminded me too. It's about reclaiming my peace. And I love that part too, besides the last part, because the last part ate. But I love the notion that it's like, when it comes to a man, he's not competing with other men. He's competing with your peace. Because you are so solid in who you are, and you are, yeah, so solidified in who you are and confident, and your self-esteem is so high on your own, that that man is not competing with the next man to be with you. He is competing with literally your ability to stand on your own.
Right.
And he has to bring that much value and peace and whatever to your life in order to be with you, because otherwise you are that good by yourself. And that's not a, I can do bad all by myself, black woman, you know, mentality. It's just, you're not going to be desperate enough to stay in a situation that you don't deserve to be in because you are that solid on your own.
Absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree. And
period.
Self-love is the best love. Period. And don't you forget that. Well, guys, thank you so much. And we'll see you next week.
Don't forget to comment, follow, like, subscribe. Follow us on all platforms at Suburban Black Girl Pod. Email us suggestions, comments, questions, concerns, love, and also, what's it called? I don't want to say testimonials, but you know what I mean?
Love the comments. Yeah, keep them coming.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.